Scripture reading this morning is from Romans chapter 8, verse 7 through 11. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you.
Our scripture for today comes from Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 7. And this is taken from the New International Version. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Grace and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's no surprise that we deal with a lot of difficult things. The past couple of years have left us with worries, concerns, frustrations that consume our thoughts and our time. Then there is the matter of dealing with various sicknesses and what seems to be an ever-increasing number of maladies that we endure as we get older. There are worries about financial security, and there is also that stress that we encounter when we have had a run-in with friends or family, so that we are upset and even consumed over the words that have been spoken or the offenses that may or may not have been committed against us. But all of these concerns, regardless of what priority they have in our lives, come to a sudden halt when news about a death is unexpectedly announced. All idle talk is silenced. Words of gossip, anger, or frustration will cease in mid-sentence. Because in a stunning moment of shock, a death immediately puts all things into their proper perspective. And we realize that any petty disagreements we might have been dwelling upon, or any personal complaints we might have been voicing at the time about our health or some other upsetting situation, really doesn't seem all that important anymore. For no aggravation in this world can be compared to the harsh reality of death. Even in our most difficult and trying circumstances, they will pale in comparison. And nowhere does our Christian faith come to bear more vitally than we are confronted with the matter of death. And as Christian believers, we pity those people who struggle to deal with death and its severity without having the promise and consolation of the Christian faith, and do not know the hope of Christ, wherein Jesus assures us in John, the 11th chapter, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." The Christian faith hinges on this promise. This is the same promise that was given to us by Christ as he stood at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. "Do you believe this?" Jesus asked Lazarus' sister Martha. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you believe this? If you believe this, then the important thing is that you live in that faith and that confidence right now, amidst the COVID, amidst all the things that are going on in this world. Don't wait for a more opportune time to start considering your own impending death and resurrection. Don't keep those contemplations to yourself so that those around you wonder whether or not they might share in the hope of a blessed reunion with you one day. For you see, we learn not to take one single moment for granted. To enjoy every conversation, to savor every hug, to cherish every relationship, to be grateful for the moments that you have together with friends and family and neighbors. The greatest gift that you can possibly leave behind is that intimate and direct conversation that we have with our loved ones, in telling them that in no uncertain terms that you believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the resurrection of the body, in the life everlasting, and that in no uncertain terms you have a personal relationship with Christ alone. For far too many, it takes the sudden, unexpected announcement of a death to set them rushing towards more fervent spiritual concerns. But the situation is far too serious for us to approach so casually. In the words that close the fundamental Christian teaching in Martin Luther's Small Catechism, it says, "This is no mere child's play. Let each one take heed and likewise consider it a serious matter." For St. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked." No, there is nothing frivolous about death or about the judgment which follows it, because you see, it becomes a matter of eternal life or eternal death. Dear Christian friends, life and death can never be dealt with from our own personal perspective. The God who created us, the God who redeemed us, and who will summon each and every one of us to appear before him, has commanded our obedience to his law. And his law, rather than being a cruel stipulation inflicted on us by an uncaring God, is in fact just the opposite. It is a matter of love. As Jesus summarized the commandments in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. But that perfect standard of love that God has given us also reveals to us just how far we have fallen from achieving that goal. That's why, in contrast to a pure divine love, we are poor, miserable sinners who deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. Try as earnestly as we might, we cannot please God by the things that we do, because even our most sincere deeds will always be tainted with sin. We cannot earn our way into heaven, and it does not matter how good of a person you are. And so we hear St. Paul state in Romans 8:7, "The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So much for those who would appease their consciences by telling themselves that the deceased was such a good person, as if that qualified them for heaven. It matters not how kind, how good, how amusing, or how friendly that individual is who dies. Without the personal relationship with Christ, he or she is lost. Scriptures tell us that the consequences of sin is death. And that's what makes not only death, but sin such a serious, serious thing. And even if we are unable to fully grasp that truth, be assured that it does not change God's thinking on the matter. He said in Scripture, "I am the Lord God, I change not." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, take heart. This is where our hope lies. And that is why God sent his Son into the world, in order to stand in our place and take his full wrath and punishment for our sins. Jesus suffered hell upon the cross, and that's what it means to be forsaken by God, as he cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It was a tremendous price that he paid to rescue us, not just from the grave, but from eternal death. But he was willing to pay it because of his great love for us. He went willingly to the cross for all sinners. Please listen carefully. God's love for you is not conditional. I repeat that. God's love for you is not conditional. God doesn't promise his love to us just as long as we do this thing or that thing for him to show that we are worthy of his love. No, he has given us his love freely and fully, not because of anything that we have done. God's grace is completely undeserved. As we read in Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in Romans 8, the 10th verse, we read again, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. And there is that also important little word, if. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Nevertheless, the only way that any of us can benefit from God's grace is if the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, to enliven us with faith, to receive all the blessings that Jesus has done for us, both upon the cross and the empty tomb. And the only way the Spirit of Christ can dwell in us is if the Spirit continues to bestow those life-giving gifts upon us through the gospel, through the promise of baptism, and in the pronouncement of holy absolution, and by the true body and blood of Christ given and shed for us in Holy Communion, which we are going to partake of very shortly. Do you believe this? Jesus asks. These things that we engage in as a church, in baptism and in Holy Communion, these aren't merely things that we do. No, these are the urgent works of God to prepare us for death and judgment by bestowing the saving gift of faith right now. I can tell you from personal experience that it is a lot easier to attend the funeral of someone who has openly and publicly stated their personal relationship with Christ and has been personally faithful in their participation of means of grace than it is for someone who has only made an occasional appearance at church. For you see, death is not a casual matter. Its impact can be devastating for those who do not know Christ, and those who cannot live in the assurance that death is one of the enemies that has been soundly defeated, along with sin and the devil. My friends, you can't rid yourself of sin, and you are no match for the murderous attacks of the devil. And you certainly cannot keep death at an arm's length. But you can find victory over all three in a relationship with the Almighty Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. Martha was right, you know, in her confession as she spoke to Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus when she said, "Lord, I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Dear friends in Christ, this Lord is your Lord. This Christ still comes into the world to answer your most heartfelt cries. This Savior is the one who tasted death Himself for you, in order to free you from its clutches and assure you of a perfect life in His presence that has no end. Do you believe this? Then let all God's people say, Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding be in your hearts and on your minds. To God be the glory. Amen.